From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Acts as he commences message number 2, which bears an intriguing title, The Unfinished Work of Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Holy Fear. The text is Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13. He that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Holy awe of God's word is at a great discount. Men think themselves wiser than the word of the Lord, and sit in judgment upon it. So did not I, because of the fear of God. We accept the inspired book as infallible, and prove our esteem by our obedience. We have no terror of the word, but we have a filial awe of it. We are not in fear of its penalties, because we have a fear of its commands. This holy fear of the commandment produces the restfulness of humility, which is far sweeter than the recklessness of pride. It becomes a guide to us in our movements, a drag when we are going downhill, and a stimulus when we are climbing it. Preserved from evil, and led into righteousness by our reverence of the command, we gain a quiet conscience, which is a well of wine, a sense of freedom from responsibility, which is as life from the dead, and a confidence of pleasing God, which is heaven below. The ungodly may ridicule our deep reverence for the word of the Lord, but what of that? The prize of our high calling is a sufficient consolation for us. The rewards of obedience make us scorn the scorning of the scorner.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten.
By thy Spirit through thy word,
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. The book of Acts is the divinely inspired record of the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit in the early church. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, the theme of the book is the acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. What happened then was because of God's intervention, not because of man's plans or gimmicks. In this, the second message in the series, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with verses 1 through 11, the introductory portion of the book. In verse 1, Luke, the inspired writer, refers to the gospel which he had written earlier as a record of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Between his resurrection and his ascension, the Savior gave his disciples further instruction regarding their work of spreading the gospel. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, they were commissioned to complete the teaching Christ had begun. Now to introduce a message called The Unfinished Work of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
Those of you who were here last Sabbath morning will remember that we commenced a series of studies in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Last Lord's Day, we took time simply to point out some of the leading features of the book in an introductory study before we got down to anything really by way of a chapter-by-chapter exposition of the book, if we ever get to that, because it's such a long book. Now this morning I want to turn to the opening verse of Acts. I always find when I start a Bible study through a book that I take the first part very slowly. I remember doing a study in 1 Peter. It's a very short book, as you remember. I think I preached 8 messages on the first chapter, and then I had to finish the rest of the book inside 13 messages. I think that'd give me another 5 or 6 messages, something like that, to finish the rest of the book. It may be a little like that in Acts, I don't know. We'll just take it as the Lord leads. But I do think we should look at this first verse this morning. Before doing so, I think maybe it would be beneficial if I give you a bird's eye view of the book of Acts and let you know the plan of the book so that at least you'll have some idea where we are and where we're going. I take the first 11 verses to be introductory. So we're dealing with the introduction, at least a little part of it this morning. And then, in those 11 verses, I think we have a verse which gives us a key to the entire book. It's interesting, the structure of the books of Scripture. I know that this can be pushed to an extreme, but I do find when I study a book of Scripture that there is usually in it a verse, or maybe a few verses, or a part of a verse, in which the Lord places in our hand the divine key that will unlock the door of the structure of the whole book. And I think that the key to the book of Acts is verse 8 of chapter 1, where we read, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And especially these words, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, when you look at that, you will find the plan of the book in a nutshell. Putting it briefly, from verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 12, through to the end of chapter 7, you have the section witnessing in Jerusalem. And then from chapter 8 through to chapter 12, you have the section witnessing in Judea and all Samaria. And then finally, from chapter 13 through to chapter 28, the end of the book, you have the section witnessing unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now there are many outstanding characters in the book, but dominant among them, you have Peter and Paul. It's interesting that the Lord gave to Peter the keys of the kingdom. That's a very, very important passage of Scripture, which I'm not going to get into details about this morning. But keys are for opening doors. And it's interesting that it was Peter who was used of God to open the door of gospel preaching to the Jews. And then when the gospel was going out to the Gentiles, it was Peter again who opened the door for the wholesale preaching of the gospel to the nations of the earth. But when it comes to reaching the nations, it is not Peter who is the great prosecutor of the work. It is Paul. Peter is the apostle of the circumcision Paul, the apostle of the uncircumcision. And therefore, very roughly, you can say that the first part of the book, first 12 chapters, centers around the ministry of Peter. Now, there are other characters and ministries that we'll have cause to look at, very important ones, but Peter certainly is at the heart of things there. And from chapter 13 through to the end, the whole theme centers on the ministry of Paul. So, the book of Acts then is a fairly easy book to divide. It's a fairly easy book to categorize in your mind. And I would recommend you to study the plan very carefully, commit it to memory, and you will find in that way that you will find it much more easy to get the chapter contents into your mind. And that's the best way to get to know any book, is to really come to grips with what that book actually says. Now, in the introduction, there are three great themes. You will find in verse 1 and 2 the theme of the doctrine and deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. His doctrine and deeds. And then, from verse 3, you have the thought of the instruction and the infallible proofs of Christ. How, after his resurrection, he instructed his disciples and he gave them many infallible proofs that he was indeed risen from the dead. And then from verse 4 through to the end of the introductory passage, we have the very important, we'll take time to look at this in chapter 1 and its fulfillment in the subsequent passages, the presence and promise of Christ, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, I hope you see where we're supposed to be going. We'll get there as the Lord wills ultimately. But this morning, I want us to take a look at verse 1. Which has a most unusual theme. A theme which I must say, in all the years I've been reading the book of Acts, I have always neglected. It's never really made me stop, sit up and think. And for that matter, I haven't heard anybody else in studying Acts who has taken time to think of it either. Could be I just haven't heard the right people. But the theme of verse 1 arrested my attention this week as I was studying in the chapter, because its theme is the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The text is particularly all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The unfinished work of Jesus Christ. Now, at a glance, you will see in the opening verses of Acts that the Holy Spirit speaks of the finished work. If you look at verse 3, he speaks of his passion and then his resurrection, the reference to the finished work of Jesus Christ. And here in verse 1, he is speaking of an unfinished work. Now, according to the verse we have taken as our text, the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry began something which he did not personally finish, but which he intended should be continued and carried through by his people after his resurrection and ascension. Now I want you to grasp that fact. He started something in his earthly ministry which he didn't finish, thereby intimating his intention that there is something he began which he intends his people should carry on and carry through. Now that fact has certain implications. First of all, it has very important doctrinal implications. I'm only going to have time to look at one or two of them. The first doctrinal implication involves the place and the authority of the apostles and their teaching. You know, I'm sure you've heard or read of the liberals. I don't know how they got that name, for they're the most restricted, puny-minded, bird-brained bunch of men that ever afflicted the earth. I don't know how they ever came to be known as liberals. I never think it's liberal to sell your soul to the devil. I don't think it's liberal to make a liar out of God Almighty. I don't think it's liberal to contradict the inspired word of God. I don't consider it liberal to blaspheme the blessed Lamb and Son of God. But they call themselves liberals. And out of the kindness of our heart, we'll use the term, with all those words of explanation hedging it about. You've heard of these liberals, and they tell us Christianity is simply the teachings of Jesus. Now, of course, to me, as a Reformed, Protestant, fundamental Bible believer, Christianity is the teaching of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. But to them, Christianity is the simple story of Jesus. And they make certain allegations and charges against the apostles. They say that in the gospel narratives, we have the simple, charming story of Jesus. But when the apostles got to work on it, they changed that story, embellished that story, and they made it into a complicated doctrinal system. As if the doctrine, say, of a book like Romans should be at odds with the story of the gospel. Some of them have even gone so far as to say that Jesus never claimed to be anything more than a man. It's a pity that liberals were born blind. It's a pity that they haven't the sight to see and the brains to understand what the Bible really says. He was going to be stoned one day because he made himself to be the Son of God. He said, "I and my Father are one." But, of course, these people who say Christianity is the teaching of Jesus, they don't accept the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And they say that the apostles deified the man. They made him into God. And therefore they had to falsify the entire record. So that here we haven't got the complete story. We haven't got the unadulterated story. What we have are the myths and the doctrinal foibles of the apostolic era. My friend, let me tell you, first of all, they hold that without a shred of evidence. Secondly, they totally miss the relationship between the gospel narratives, the book of Acts, and then the epistles. And therefore they misconstrue the situation. The truth is that all Scripture is equally authoritative. Now I'm going to make a statement that may shock some if you haven't thought it through. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in Scripture are not one whit more authoritative than the words of Peter or the words of Paul or any other part of the inspired volume. Oh, certainly, the dignity of the Lord Jesus Christ is infinitely greater than the dignity of any other person who has ever trodden the earth. And it is not proper to speak of the words of Christ as being inspired, because being personally God, he speaks of his own authority and with all his Father's authority. He didn't need inspiration in the sense of other speakers and writers. But at the end of the day, let me get this clearly to you, that not one word of Peter's or Paul's inspired of God is one iota less authoritative than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because the same Spirit has breathed the entire Word of God. In fact, in 1 Peter 1:11, we read that the inspiration of the Old Testament is from the Spirit of Christ. So you have the same Spirit. Now, Christ began teaching, but he didn't finish. I want you to understand that. And therefore he sent his Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all the truth. John 16 verse 13. That's a very important verse in the New Testament scriptures. He sent his Holy Spirit to guide his apostles into all the truth. And therefore, whatever the liberals say, let's learn this morning, for this is Bible Christianity. Therefore, if you would know all the truth, then you'll find it in the writings of the inspired apostles. That's where you'll find it. That's not to say that you'll not find God's truth in the Old Testament or the gospel narratives, but it is simply saying that the revelation of God reaches its great climax and its great consummation in the inspired scriptures of the New Testament. So Christ began to teach. He left the finishing to his inspired apostles.
that gives you the proper authority in place of apostolic teaching, preaching, and the New Testament scriptures.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.